One of the other great cries during the time of tabernacles is Hosanna, which we sang before, which means, Lord, save us. Lord, deliver us. Lord, meet with us. And something, because there's always something new that you learn, that I forgot to mention really when the lulav was being waved. The etrog, each one of those are symbolic of a part of the body. What do you think this is a symbol of? The heart. And when they were waved before to the north, south, east, and west, up and down, it means I give my heart to God wherever I am, wherever he takes me. And the leaves, one leaf, the willow tree, represents an eye. And it's I give what I look at in the north, south, east, west, up or down, I give it to you, Lord. And the mouth, the things that I speak, Lord, may they be worthy of your holy name, whether I'm in the north, south, east, or west, whether I'm up or whether I'm down. It's wonderful, the symbolism. But, you know, somebody said, and it really just stayed with me, right throughout all the time in Israel, if you don't understand the Old Testament, or the Tanakh, to give it its proper name, which stands for the Torah, the law, the prophets, and the writings, if you don't understand that and you hear many people say, oh, I only read the New Testament, it's like going into a film halfway through and you see what happens and you see the end, but you don't really understand, well, why did that happen? What was that all about? Where did it come from? But the more the time goes on and you realize when you start reading your Old Testament and there's such wonderful revelation and teaching in it, that you begin to see how God fulfills everything to the letter. Tells us in Hebrews that there are shadows, there's types. And every one of them is fulfilled in Christ. Everything has a meaning. The Jews don't really understand why they had a sacrificial lamb. But we know who the sacrificial lamb was. The one sacrifice that is sufficient for all. For you, for me, for my failings, my sins, your failings and your sins. We need to give him our heart. And again, I don't think it's any coincidence that Israel is so despised and hated and its enemies rising up seeking to wipe it out in this day. Because, you know, there's a wonderful promise that lies ahead. And the promise is this, that the same Messiah who went up into heaven will come back again. And where is he coming back to? Is he coming back to Tehran? Is he coming back to New York or London? Where is he coming back to? Oh, a few people know. He's coming back to Jerusalem. This same Jesus that went up into heaven will so come again in just the way that you've seen him go. The devil hates the fact that if the Messiah comes back, he knows his end is near. And also for his end to be near, there need to be the Jewish nation in Israel calling Hosanna, Lord save us. And I believe that the nation of Israel, according to the scriptures, it will be saved. They will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as though one mourns for their only son. And they will cry, Hosanna. And we're celebrated because Tabernacles is about celebration. It tells us in scripture, doesn't it, that the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You shall go forth with joy. But life isn't always full of joy. Life can be hard. Sometimes it can be desperately hard. And again, these visual aids for the children of Israel. It reminds us that though we go through the wilderness, and the truth of the matter was the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 long years. But they really didn't need to have been there for 40 years. They could have got there much sooner. But it tells us that their hearts became hard. They became bitter. There was nothing for them really that they needed. All that they needed, they had the provision of heaven, the bread from heaven. But still they turned from God. But when a man or a woman or a boy or a girl decides to get their life right, don't just wait for the good times. It's in the hard times that your faith is really faith. If you can't be a Christian in the hard times, then you've just got emotion. I mentioned before about Dennis Babcombe. It's a wonderful story. And I do want you to come and look at it when we show it. And Dennis says this, that when he went into China, and of course it was very hard in those days after Mao Zedong's wife took over, and she was so hardline. She hated what you call foreign infidels and foreign religion. But all the time, the Church of God was growing. And he was just relaying how so many people, incredibly, day after day, from early morning to night, right now, right as we're speaking, in China, they're having meetings every single day of the week. They don't just, they said you don't hear a Muslim call to prayer. Said the Christians are already there praying from early morning, and they're seeing incredible miracles. Dennis said, he said, I've heard if anyone says to me, he said, it's like Pentecost. And he said, and if anyone says to me, I don't understand speaking in tongues, he said, come to China. He said, time after time, many different meetings, different places, I've heard people just speaking perfect English, and they're speaking from the Psalms, and they're extolling the Lord in absolute perfect English. And when you speak to those people afterwards, they're just poor Chinese people who've never learnt anything other than Cantonese or one of the other dialects. God is going to be praised. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. You know, if we want to see God break through, I thank God for the blessings that we have just living in this land. But you know, there are dark clouds, there are storm clouds coming. And we've said this for a long time, and I know it's so easy to think, no, things will just stay the same. We'll have some ups, some downs, but basically we'll move along. We won't. We're reaching a time when decisions need to be made. In China, again, you see, the thing that they don't fear is death. They're not bothered. They said, you know, that this love for Jesus, this reality of Jesus is far greater than anything else. So it doesn't matter if I have a bad day or a good day. What matters is that I worship and I praise him. And when people meet with God at Pentecost and they get filled with the Holy Spirit, their hearts are changed. Deep down, your hearts are changed. If you are completely the Lord's, you've got a new heart, a brand new heart. And if anyone is in Christ, all things have passed away. All things have become new. Hallelujah. You might go back into the same situation or circumstances, but if your heart is different, if you have faith in your heart, if you have expectancy and you look not to the things of this world, because, you know, all of these things, these are shadows and types, but the reality is in God. And it tells us that these earthly things will pass away. It tells us that when Jesus came in John chapter 1, he came. And the word in most of the modern translations, it says he dwelt amongst us. That word dwelt amongst us is actually this word. He tabernacled amongst us. God put his tabernacle. He put the earthly tent amongst us. And we've got earthly tents. But you know, we've got a wonderful, wonderful heavenly habitation that lies before us. Glory to God. And one day, this earthly tabernacle will be taken away. But we have a tabernacle not made with human hands, but made by God, God Almighty. And I want to tell you, my dear friends, that we need to be in these days full of the Holy Spirit, full of power, full of God. You know, we should be looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So often we look to other people, we look to other things. So easily we're blown off course. When I want to run the race, I want to fix my eyes on Jesus, who began this work in me, and I believe he'll finish it. And he wants his church not to be weak and anemic and ridiculed and mocked, but he wants his church to be a mighty army, glory to God. No weapon formed, weren't they lovely songs that we sang before? All of them. No weapon formed against us will prosper. The angels of the Lord are around those, are encamped around those who fear him. Our hearts need not be afraid. Though 1,000 were raised up against me, yet in him will I trust. Glory to God. Through God you can run through a troop and you can leap over a wall. Man of God, woman of God, why look down when you can look up? Why not behold the fulfillment? All of these things just point to one. the great wonderful Savior, the one who's promised he will never, ever, ever leave you. He will never, ever forsake you. Not even death itself can stop the love of God and the power of God and the glory of God being upon your life. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. We're a people of destiny. We're a people of calling. It's not just an option to be a Christian. In fact, there were TV broadcasters down at En Gedi from, I think it was ITV, and they didn't come up to see the leaders of either ICJ or national leaders or so on, but they were interviewing people, and they were saying, and one of the ladies was from the UK that they interviewed, and she spoke to me later, and he said, why are you doing this? And she said, well, because we love Israel, because we love the God of Israel, and above all, because we worship the Messiah of Israel. And this interviewer, what was his name? Adrian Childs. He said to her, but all religions worship God. It's just one God, isn't it? And she said, it isn't one God. She said, you just go into Jerusalem and look in the dome of the rock, and just written over the mosque there, what does it say? There is only one God and he has no son. And she said, and we worship the Son of God. Hallelujah. All roads don't lead to God. We don't all get there. Only those who seek with all their hearts, only those who pursue him, forsake unrighteousness, live holy lives, be accountable to him, and worship him in spirit and in truth. These are the ones that he is seeking for, and these are the ones who will find him and know him. Glory to God. And it's God's will, and I hope before my day is done on this planet that I will see this happen on this day which I mentioned, when Israel, all of Israel, will be saved. Hallelujah. And you know what? Many, and I'm one of them, I believe that the key events will happen around this time of the Feast of Tabernacles. The feasts that we have in the UK and the Western world, they're not the biblical feasts. In fact, this Feast of Tabernacles, we didn't show this particular scripture before, but it says all nations, every single nation will go up to Jerusalem in Zechariah 14 to worship the Lord. All nations, hallelujah. And when you go there, and don't forget to book your flight for next year, come and see us, we'll give you a leaflet. All nations. And there were over 80 different nations there in Jerusalem this year. Just small numbers. Well, from some nations, big numbers. But that's just a taster, a prolepsis, a foretaste of what is to come. Imagine this, every nation, from every tribe and every nation, worshipping the Lord, worshipping Jesus, crying out, Hosanna, save us, deliver us, Lord. Glory to God. We're not a weak people. If you've got the power of God in you, you are stronger. You're stronger than a lion. You're stronger than a giant. If your God reigns, then God will give you unbelievable, omnipotent power. Do you know one of his names is El Shaddai? And do you know what El Shaddai means? Oh, three people know. God Almighty. I hear people blaspheming, saying God Almighty. And you know, when I hear them say that, I say God Almighty. But I'm not blaspheming. I love the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai. God Almighty saved me, redeemed me, brought me to this place, opened my life up, bless me. I am blessed, not because of anything I have, but everything that he has and he's put in me. And am I a favorite? No, you are his favorites. There's no one that he doesn't love as much as he loves you. This is the truth. This is the gospel. Because the Bible tells us it's Christ in you that is the hope of glory. It's Christ in you. It's not you in you. It's not you trying to get a bit better, pass a few more exams or get a better job. It's Christ in you. El Shaddai, the power of God Almighty. You need not be defeated. You need not be weak. You need not be overcome. You can be an overcomer in this life. You can be a conqueror. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No habit, no lies, no deceits, nothing of your past, nothing in your present. No one, nothing can separate you from the love of God if Christ is in you, which is the glorious hope of glory. Blessed be his holy name. Hallelujah. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? That's what the old hymn used to say. And we used to sing, we're in the army of the Lord. Glory to God. Can you hear the sound of rustling in the leaves of the trees? Can you hear that there's a new wind that is blowing? There's a new day that is dawning. The day is far spent and the night is at hand in the old. But now it's a new day. Victory is in our lips and in our hearts. I love having a nice, clean, new heart, don't you? I love being washed by Jesus. I love getting washed when I sing these songs, when I read the scriptures. When I hear my wife pray, she prays some wonderful prayers, praise them from scripture. Wonderful to be washed by the power of God's word. I'm so sad that people don't use the word of God. They just do not know and use the word of God. You've got to know the word of God. It's a mighty weapon. I want to show you a wonderful promise in Isaiah chapter 4. Have we got this up? Yeah, wonderful. Isaiah chapter 4, and reading from verse 2. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth will be the pride and adornment of the survivors of Israel. And it will come about that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night, for over all the glory will be a canopy, and there will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. Have you got a canopy over you? Have you got your sukkah over you? Have you got God Almighty and his hand upon your life? He who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. God is working his purpose out. He's working his purpose out on the earth. He's working his purpose out in your life. He's working his purpose out for your destiny and for your future. He's working it out for Israel. And it tells us clearly here that the bloodshed in Israel, and even over these past few days, there's been bloodshed. Terrible bloodshed, unnecessary bloodshed by wicked people. By people who hate the God of Israel and want to wipe them off the face of the earth. And they make a proclamation. And it's the same proclamation that was made in the Psalms. It says, come, let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. They're not my words. They're the words of the psalmist given thousands of years ago. And they've never succeeded. The Hittites have come and gone. The Perizzites have come and gone. The Amorites, the Jebusites. Mighty empires have come and gone. How come Israel still lives? Am Israel Chai. People of Israel live. The people of Israel live because their Redeemer lives. As Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he will stand in the last days upon this earth. Glory to God. And I hope I'm around to see this glorious day when the people of Israel are cleansed of their bloodshed, when this cloud of the glory of God, it's a wonderful word, the glory of God, the Shekinah presence of God. It filled the whole temple. The priests, they were offering the sacrifices. And then the glory came, the Shekinah came. And what happened to the priests? No one could stand. You cannot stand when the presence of God comes. You've got to fall down. You've got to worship. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let your Shekinah power, your Shekinah glory come upon me. Cleanse me, Lord, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Let my praise be worthy of your holy name. In the north, the south, the east, the west, whether I'm up or whether I'm down, wherever I am, wherever I go, I want to praise him. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to tell people about the great deliverer. Guide me, O thou great redeemer. Pilgrim through this barren land. Glory to God. You've got great riches in store. Because there was a branch. A wonderful branch. A great branch. That came to this earth. It tabernacled amongst us. He came to his own. And the Bible tells us his own received him not. And he grew up. And he was despised and rejected of men. Not just by the Jews. But by all mankind, for it says they all forsook him and fled. But God Almighty was with him. Hallelujah. He'd emptied himself of all deity, all glory, and all power. And he humbled himself, and he was born as a babe, he was born as a servant. And yet this servant is our king. He is our king forever and ever. He's the coming again king. Hallelujah. And this king is coming to a kingdom. First of all, it is a kingdom on this earth. It is the kingdom in Israel. Israel has no king because they know the Messiah, the Mashiach is the king. Glory to God. And my dear friends, I tell you, the king is coming. I hear the trumpet sound. The king is coming. And it may be sooner than what you expect because it says many people will be caught unaware. Many people, actually, they won't have enough oil. Which is what? The spirit in their lamps. They'll be too concerned, too caught up with the things of this world. But my dear friends, make sure you've got oil in your lamps. Make sure this day before you leave this place, Holy Spirit, I need to be filled again. I want to burn brightly for you. Hallelujah. You know our two candles still lasting there, Rachel? The Jew and the Gentile. Many of these symbols the Jews don't understand the meaning of. Many in the feast, because they only watch the film for the first half and they don't know what the ending is. And many Christians don't know the first half, so they just try and pick it up halfway through. But glory to God. For those who believe the Bible is the word of God, we're going to see the film right through. And we're going to be ready for the great finale. Hallelujah. The glory of God will cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. The Lord wants to overshadow his people. This tabernacle called Jesus that came to this earth and dwelt amongst us and then was taken up. And now he's got a glorious body. And Paul says the same thing in 2 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 5. He says, one day soon I'm going to put off this earthly tabernacle. But he said, I've got a better one. Hallelujah. I've got a much better one. Have you got a few aches and pains, my friends? Do you feel a little bit weary and overcome? I tell you, what we've got is glorious. And the wonderful truth is this, that the powers of the age to come are breaking through into this age right now. Hallelujah. So we see in China, 2 years ago, it was very moving, moved me to tears. When the tribe of Benai Manasseh, tribe from India, northeast India, one of the lost tribes of Israel was found. And they were brought back and the Christians have been able, and you're giving, to just help this take place. And these Jews are returning to their land. From all over the world, the Jews are coming back. Now, why are they coming back? Well, they certainly are being persecuted. In France, it's dreadful. It's dreadful. It's rising in the UK. But it's not just to get them back into the land of Israel. It's so that they will cry, Hosanna. We give you our heart. We give you the heart of the nation. When revival comes, it touches individuals, that's true. but it touches communities. But true revival touches nations. It says that the nations of the redeemed, they shall go up to Zion with songs of gladness on their lips, everlasting joy in their hearts. Hallelujah. For thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou hast taken off my sackcloth. We're only saying, I think Rob exhorted you all a few months ago, you know, there should be great rejoicing in this place. You know, the last part of the feast that takes place at Tabernacle, they have the great Hosanna, the great shout, the great song of deliverance. See, if you're not pressing into the power of God and you're only asking when you're just desperate, you're missing it. The Lord is seeking true worshippers, people who abandon themselves to worship and praise him. I love the old Wesley hymn that says, "Rise up, O men of God, be done with lesser things." And sometimes, when I was a pastor, sometimes it amazed me how people were so caught up with lesser things. We're not called for lesser things. We're called for greater things. You know, it says the people who know their God, it says this in Daniel, the people who know their God, they shall, authorized version, they shall wax strong, glory to God, which means they're getting stronger. And they will do exploits, glory to God. When was the last exploit that you did for Jesus? When was the last person you spoke to about Jesus to someone? Maybe you're a little bit afraid somebody will laugh at you or mock you or whatever. Another lovely hymn says, "Ashamed of Jesus soon afar, let midnight blush to own a star." I never want to be ashamed of Jesus. How can you be ashamed of the only one who loved you when no one else loved you like he loved you? When no one else could save you like he saved you? He's coming back for you. And he's coming back and he's going to take away from you this earthly tabernacle. And he's got a glorious, wonderful, mighty, fantastic place reserved in heaven for you. "Now, if this were not so," said Jesus, "I would have told you." And one of the things he is truth. So I'm not telling you wishful things. I'm telling you the gospel truth. Hallelujah. And I'm praying and believing that this tabernacle's time. And you know what? It's a harvest festival as well. And you know what sort of harvest festival it is? It's the final ingathering before winter. So this is the real tabernacles is actually the origins of the Western Christianity harvest festival. This is tabernacles, the great ingathering. And one day we'll be gathered in. And there'll be wheat, and there'll be chaff. And someday when that final trumpet sounds, and when we give an account to Almighty God, I want God to say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've run the race. You've kept true to the course. You've not denied my name." In that day, the branch of the Lord will be glorious. Jesus, the one who was despised, became the most fruitful of all people ever. Tells us quite clearly in John's Gospel, it said, if everything that Jesus did or said was written down, all the books in the world just couldn't contain it. I like books. I've got a lot of books. But if they were all just full of what Jesus has done and said, it wouldn't be a drop in the ocean compared to what he's got, what he's done. Do you know why? Because the story goes on and on. And whether it's the people coming back from India or China or throughout the Muslim lands, there are many, many visitations of the Lord. Just quite incredible. Again, just being away and mixing with people from other nations, just hearing people in dreams and visions, finding Jesus. They don't know who he is, but they just know that he's the truth. Glory to God. Are you expecting the Lord to do great things, mighty things, wondrous things? Because the Bible tells us clearly, we were broken off branches. We were cut off. But now we've been grafted in. We've been brought back. And our roots, that's why we've got it on the top of the stairs there. We're rooted in, grafted in. Glory to God. Just so that we can get to heaven? No. So that we can bring forth much fruit to his praise and to his glory. And the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth will be the pride and the adornment of the survivors of Israel. There's no sweeter and more beautiful name than the name of Jesus. How sweet the name of Jesus, Yeshua, sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield, my hiding place, my never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. Hallelujah. Weak is the effort of my heart, and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. We can praise him now. We can ask for God's blessing and God's anointing and God's power. This tabernacles, this time of tabernacles, this coming of God, this great ingathering that's going to take place. God wants you to be a people of power. God wants a new anointing to be upon your life. God wants you to be bringing forth fruit. The harvest time is near. Are you ready? Are you willing to be a laborer in this harvest? Let's just stand. Ask our beautiful worship group to come back again, please. And we're going to worship Jesus. But I've just got this feeling deep in my heart here that there are people who just need to really dedicate themselves to the Lord. People who are just ticking over. People who are just marking time. And the Lord wants you to be a man, a woman of God on fire. I invite you now. We've got plenty of space for you to come down. Humble yourself. Kneel before the Lord your maker. And let's worship him just as a worshiping. Just come down. And we'll pray. People need to really be rightly connected to God. People need to have the right heart, the right eyes, the right mouth, the spine, the backbone. We need these things. So just come. Come and let's bow down before the Lord your maker. Let's just pray and worship Jesus. So just kneel down. If you're physically capable, and you just kneel down and call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's worship Jesus. Amen.